93.3 BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Once again, Lord, what an awesome honor and what an awesome privilege it is to be able to come into your very presence, my Father, me and the rest of your children, Lord, who are tuned in to this radio broadcast, Father, to come all the way into your presence, my Father, because you have summoned us. We don't just come of our own. We come because you have pointed unto us the golden scepter of righteousness. For we know that no man can come unto you except he be drawn by your spirit, my Father. And the very fact, my Lord, that you have allowed your spirit to draw us closer to you, Father, we just want you to know that we count it an honor and a privilege that we can come and eat from the King's table and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord, what the Holy Spirit has to say about what everything Jesus said. For he told us before he left that he was going to send the Spirit back, and the Spirit was going to not speak of himself, but everything that he had told us, and that he would bring us in remembrance of everything that he told us, and also that he would give us the ability to walk in the reality of everything that Jesus told us. So, Father, we thank you, Father, for this awesome invitation and opportunity to come past, once again, past your gates of thanksgiving. Let me say that different, Father, to come through your gates of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. To come through your course of praise, for you are so worthy of all our praise, and we offer unto you the highest praise. Hallelujah. The highest praise. Praise you in all things, no matter what. We give you the highest praise. You're worthy of all our praise. It don't matter what it is. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you have set up in the earth, Father, the holy place, the sanctuary where we can gather together in fellowship, Father, with one another, and eat from the servant's table, Father, you know, from the fivefold ministry. And we thank you for that, Lord. But, Father, you have made it known to us that we can come past that place all the way behind the veil. The thing that separated you from us, your presence from us, that we can come behind that veil, Father, into your very presence. Not because of nothing that we have done, Lord, but because you love us so. And you have, Father, invited us, Lord, that because of your love for us, and now the love that you not only have for us, you said in word, but you displayed it, Lord, when you sent your son to this earth, Lord, and did what he did. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, everything, that all because of your love, Father. So, Father, as we take you up on that invitation and we come into your presence, Lord, we ask that you will continue to fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we might know you, the only true and wise God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. For that's life eternal, Father. And as in always, Father, we'll be careful to always give you all of the credit, all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, so shall it be. And so shall it be. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God, kings and queens of the Most High God, hallelujah, sons and daughters of the Most High God, the children of the Most High God, heirs of the Most High God, citizens of the kingdom of the Most High God, chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's why I always say mighty men and mighty women are the Most High God. How come? Well, we're the offsprings of God. We spring off from God. You know why we all those great and mighty things? Because that's what our God is. And boy, the same essence that he is, the same thing, same ingredient that's on the inside of him is the same ingredient that's on the inside of us. You might not know that, and we might not be walking in all of the fullness of it, boy, but we come into the knowledge of it. And we beginning to walk in it, boy, line up on line and precept upon precept. Hallelujah. Pressing on toward the prize of a high calling that's in Christ Jesus. What's that high calling that's in Christ Jesus? To be just like him. To be just like him in every area of life. To be just like him. How come, Mark? Because, boy, that's how we were created. We were created just like him. He's the express image of the Father. And when the Father created us, he said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. But, so we are the express image of the Father, too. We are the express image of Jesus and the Father. I'm going to say it again. We are the express image of the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And not only that, boy, heirs of God and joint heirs with his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything that the Father has, man, belongs to us. Everything that Jesus has, his inheritance, our inheritance, too. What are you talking about, Brother Arthur? I'm telling you about the gospel of the kingdom, glory to God. I'm telling you about what's really going on and what we really have and who we really are and what we really can do. And, boy, if we come to the knowledge of that, boy, we start practicing that, man. Hallelujah. We start acting on that. We start acting on that. We start thinking like that. And as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. We start thinking like that. See, if you just think you're just a Christian and trying to make it in, and then as a man thinking in his heart, that's how you're going to be. But as you start thinking, glory to God, that you are somebody, man. You ain't just no anybody, baby. You're the offspring of the Most High God. That's something that God put on the inside of you, man. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm talking about that stuff. I'm going to say it one more time. Boy, that's something that God put on the inside of every last one of us. What's that, Arthur? He put, boy, his spirit on the inside of all of us. He put his life on the inside of all of us. He put his power, his ability, his image, his character, his nature, his love, his attributes. All that he has, all that he is, man, he put that on the inside of all of us. His life. Life the way he lives and life the way he intended for all mankind to live, was just like him, ruling and reigning over our territory, earth, just like he ruling and reigning over his territory, him. Lord. Well, that's what God wants you to know. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus Christ was preaching. That's what he was advertising. That's why the people followed him before, because he had lived. He wasn't advertising himself. He wasn't talking about him. We'll get to that later on. He wasn't talking about telling the people how great he is and everything else. When they asked him a question, man, he said, hey, I'm the Son of Man. And then sometimes, man, he said, hey, I'm the Son of the Most High God. But, man, all the things that he was doing about the earth, he didn't attribute that to being, man, the Son of God like the way we know it. He did all those things as a Son of Man. Hallelujah. He did all those things as Jesus. Who is that? That's the Son of Man. That's Mary born. Who is the Son of God, boy? That's Christ on the inside of him. And he was doing that as the Son of Man, as Mary born. What boy? That had, boy, all of the fullness that I'm talking about that belonged to us on the inside of him. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in him. That's why he was able to do the thing that he did upon this earth. That's why he was able to redeem our life from destruction. That's why he was able to heal all those who were oppressed to the devil. That's why he was able to bring demons and devils and the devil himself subjected being unto his authority and his power and his control. Boy, boy, because that's the Son of the Most High God, who was operating on his earth, boy, as the Son of Man. And boy, he come to tell you that that's how, who you are, too. You are the mighty man. When I say that mighty one, I'm talking about that Son of God that you are, that spirit man, that spirit that you are, that offspring of God that you are. I'm not talking about your, the mere man, the physical man. I'm talking about that spirit, hallelujah, that you are. The same ingredient, same character, same nature, boy, that the Spirit of God has, boy. That's what you have. That's who you are. God is a spirit. He created you in his image, so he created us spirit beings. That's life force, life in the absolute sense, the spirit life, life in the spirit, eternal life, everlasting life, that life, that kind of life, life the way God lives and life the way God intended for you and I to live. How he intended for us to live, Brother Arthur? Just like he lived. Ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts more his territory, his kingdom. That's how he wants to create you and I to live, ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts our lives here in our kingdom, in our territory, in our domain, called the earth. Hello. Hey, God. Let me tell you something, boy. Your Father in heaven, boy, desired that, wanted that, decreed that, declared that. And, baby, I don't care what is going on in the earth, what might oppose itself against that. Man, let me tell you something, boy. What the king say, go. You didn't hear me say this many times upon this radio broadcast. What the king say goes. That's what goes. Thank God for what man said and everybody else say and circumstance, situations say and people say and you say and I say and whatever, whoever. Man, that's all. Everybody got a word. But, boy, I'm talking about another word, boy. I'm talking about what the king say. What king? The Most High God. What he said. What he said. What he said. Hallelujah. Thank God for what we can say to one another. Even men and growing and edifying one another in the word of God and in the things of God. But, boy, I'm talking about more sure word. A more sure foundation. So, well, when you can hear, boy, God speak to you. And, man, that's what he wants. That's what he wants more than anything else, boy. He want to, man, you. He want to commune with you. He want to fellowship with you. That's why God named our ministry Kingdom Life Fellowship. You don't want to have no church. I mean, wait, hold it. Don't misunderstand me. I ain't play throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let me say it in a correct way. He don't just want to have church, boy. He want to do something else, too, boy. He want to hang out with his children. He want to love on his children. He want to open the eyes of the understanding of his children. He want men to commune with his children. He want to fellowship with his children. He just want to rock and feed his babies, man. He just want to grow up his children, man. He just want to walk and talk with us in the cooler day. He just want no unbroken fellowship with his children. He just want us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. What's that, Arthur Ward, behind that veil? In his presence. And, boy, that's the invitation that he's given to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. Listen, you can't come into that place, man, without being here. And listen, you can talk about somebody else. What he say? I said, you can't come into that place, man, without being holy. No, anybody can't come there. You got to be holy and without blame. In order to go to that place, what I'm talking about, you got to be holy and without blame. Listen, man, no, anybody can go into this. Man, listen, they used to try that and everything else. In fact, they accidentally did that, man, and all them people, man, died. Who went there, even the priests who would go in there once a year. And everything wasn't right in their life, and they didn't go in there the proper way. Boy, they had that rope that they tied around their ankle. They had to pull them on out of there. You can't go into the presence of the Most High God, no, any kind of way, bro. You're going in the presence of greatness. You're going in the presence of holiness. Anything less than that are disintegrate. Listen, the very fact that, boy, he is pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness is an indication that he has already completed a work that he begun on the inside of us. What work he begun on the inside of us? Creating us in his image and in his likeness. Hallelujah. With all power and all authority and all dominion over our territory, just like he have all power and authority and dominion over his territory. Just like him. Express the image, boy, of the Father. Say it again, brother. To express the image of the Father. Can you imagine that? Being like, boy, your Father. Being like God. Ain't that my boy being like Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and all the other ties that we fall upon. But I'm talking about being like who you really are. Being like your Father in heaven. Living that life. Living, man, not just life, but that more abundantly. I ain't talking about superior. I'm talking about superior in quality and superior in quantity. And I ain't talking about a whole bunch of things and material things. I'm talking about superior in quality. I'm talking about, boy, man, spiritually rich. Spiritually healed. Spiritually delivered, spiritually provided for. And boy, if you got all them things provided for you in the spirit realm, then boy, it'll manifest itself in this natural realm. See, the reason why we're not seeing more manifestation of it in the natural realm, because we ain't got it manifested in the spirit realm. It got to take place in the spirit realm first. Listen, boy, the work that God doing on the inside of us, he's doing it from the inside out. I'm going to say that again. The work that God has begun on the inside of us and that is doing on the inside of us, he's doing it from the inside out. He's not trying to get you to conform to his will from the outside in. He's working, he's doing it from the inside out. Listen, boy, when we received the Holy Spirit, boy, he went past all our mess, all our circumstances, past our physical body, past our emotions, our attitudes, our soul, our will, all that. He went and took our residence on the inside, boy, of that man, like I told you, that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God, that mighty man, that mighty woman that you are, that spirit being that you are, that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. All the mess that we live in this earth, and the very fact that he took a residence on the inside of your spirit, came past your flesh and your soul, man, and all the way down to your spirit, is an indication, boy, that caused your spirit and your soul and your flesh to be separated from him in the beginning has been taken care of. Boy, that you have been made the righteousness of God. That the penalty for sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Though your sins are like scarlet, they washed white as snow. They put in the sea of forgiveness. He remembered them no more. He who knew no sin, who God, and his son, Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, boy, took upon himself, boy, the sins of the whole human race, all your sins and all my sins. He who knew no sin, boy, God made him to be sin. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, glory to God. And boy, by his stripes, we were healed. And I ain't just talking about physical healing. See, we too preoccupied with, man, but the minor things, man, and not majoring and not focusing on the major thing. The minor thing is try to get physical healing. Boy, the major thing is to get the spiritual healing. So, boy, we get the spiritual healing, man. When he was really talking about healing the sick and the oppressed, he was talking about physically, but, man, he wasn't really talking about that. He was talking first and foremost, man, about healing all those who are spiritually sick. Who prospered all of us, man, who are spiritually poor. Who opening, man, the eyes of those of us who are spiritually blinded to the truth of what God is doing and how he's doing it. To us, not the deaf ears, man, that those who the devil have hardened their hearts and seeing they see now and hearing they hear now, so they might hear the glorious gospel of the kingdom, boy, that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of, because that's the power of God under salvation. To the Jew first, he came to them first, they didn't even receive it, and also to the Gentile. But as many as received him, he gave them the power, boy, to come, like I tell you, boy, the Son of the Most High God. He didn't give them the power to become Christians and religious rituals and titles and ceremonies and all those things like that. He gave them the power to become the sons of the Most High God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Boy, you got an inheritance. And, man, I'm talking about this gospel of the kingdom got to be preached in all the world. Can you imagine, man, if this is what we've been preached, man, for the last 2,000 years? Because that's what Jesus Christ was preaching. And boy, we'd have been preaching that, man, for the last 2,000 years. Boy, you know how much further along we can be, boy. That's why I'm not telling you, man, what the strategy of the devil, man. He had called, man, this gospel to be hid in the graveyard of religion. Hallelujah. I don't think I'd be stretching it if I say for the last 1,800 years. Tell me, man, I'm talking about, boy, this gospel of the kingdom that was being preached, man, that was bringing in people into the kingdom of God, man, from after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, boy, probably up until the first 200 or 300 years, man, then that thing began to be watered down by rituals and traditions and customs and rites and ceremonies. They put me in the church as well. And then they measured their success on how well they had church. And their success is supposed to be measured on how well we be in a church. How many, not people who went into our congregation and be members of our churches, but how many souls, men, are we winning to the kingdom of God? So you can be winning souls to your church, man, and they still not be in the kingdom. See, when the whole purpose, man, is to win souls into the kingdom, to win the church into the kingdom. Not to win souls to a church. Not to get them men to join a church and shake the preacher's hand and get their name written on the church roll. That's just a type and a shadow. The main thing is, man, for you to join, boy, listen, to become, man, who you are, what, a member of the royal household. Not a member of a church, man, but a member of the family, the royal household of God, a royal priesthood, of the family of God, of the royal household of God. You know what the royal household of God is? That's the family of God. Thank God for our church family, but I'm talking about the family of God. See, in our church family, we just members of the church, but in the family of God, you sons and daughters. Who have more privileges and more authority and more rights in the house? The servants or the children, the maid or the daughter, the butler or the son. Who has more authority? Who the greatest inheritance to? Who all the inheritance go to? The sons and daughters. Who has the rights? The servants or the children? The children got all the rights. It's all right to be a member of a church, and it's all right to shake the preacher's hand, and it's all right to get your name rolled on the church roll. But I'm here for something greater, man, for you to join the family of God, for you to be, man, what the Bible says, man, reconciled back to God, adopted, man, back into the family of God, and grafted back into the family of God. Come back and get, man, you know, not just your membership, but your citizenship. Not just a member of a church, but a citizen of a kingdom. That don't mean that you're not a member of a church. That just means that you're a member of a church that's also born a citizen of the kingdom. See, you can be a member of a church and not know nothing about your citizenship in the kingdom. But boy, when you find out that member of a church that you are also a citizen of the kingdom of God, and that you are a member of the royal household of God. You are the household of God, the family of God. That you're not just a servant man, you are a son and a daughter that have a servant attitude. That serve just like Jesus. He's the boy I'm talking about. He is the boy. That's the son of the Most High God. And boy, he come down to this earth, man, and partook of himself with the nature of man. And boy, ruled and reigned over circumstances, situation, cast out devils, healed the sick, man, raised the dead, and everything else. And then, boy, when he got boy together, them disciples, boy, he began to wash their feet. Here he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And boy, he washing his disciples' feet. He said, who is the greatest among you? He said, hey, him that serve. He said, I'm a king, man, but I come to serve. What? I come to serve, boy, all the citizens of my kingdom. What you come to serve, my man? I come to serve, my boy, from the king's table. What's at the king's table, boy, who they really are? I come to restore back to them, man, everything that they lost. And I come to teach them about it and to train them up and to grow them up. To reestablish them. I come to do great and mighty things that your eyes ain't seen and your ears ain't heard. You can't even imagine, said the Lord, what I came to do, not only for you, but in and through you. Not as in heaven, church, but as in man, getting back on course toward the destiny that I set for your life, said the Lord. What is that, Father? That not only that you have good church, but that you learn how to be the church. And when you learn, man, how to, who the church is and how to be the church, then when you come together, you're talking about having some good church. Hallelujah. Well, when we can see our community change. When we can, man, you know, see, man, you know, man, change in our lives and in our families, in our relationships, one with the other, in our homes, in our marriages. When we can see, man, you know, our youth changing, man, from fighting and killing up one another, man, by learning, man, how to grow in love with one another. When we can see, man, you know, not people, man, coming and joining our church, but, boy, souls, man, being warned and saved and healed and delivered and set free and more into the kingdom of God, people being saved. Can you imagine your whole community saved? Listen, in being the church, that can take place. That ain't going to take place in us having good church, but boy, when we begin to be the church, hey, we can see that take place. Because, boy, when you know who you are, when you know what the church is and who you are and why you call the church and what your purpose is, then you won't only just start having good church, boy. You'll get in on what God, with the purpose for the church. You his call out ones to carry out his assignment up on the earth. You his agency through which he accomplished, boy, his will and his desire. What his will and desire is, that it be on earth like it is in heaven. How you going to get that done? Through his church. His called out ones who get the mind of him, who get his will, his intent, his desire, his purpose, boy, and get in on that, boy, and allow God to do that work on the inside of them. What that, man? What's the greatest of all, boy? To win souls, man, to the kingdom of God. To win mankind back into, boy, God's original plan and purpose and destiny for their life. To go and proclaim, man, that, boy, this is the day of salvation. This is the year of Jubilee. For this purpose, boy, I'm talking about, you say, boy, he who knew no sin, God made to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. And, boy, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that? I'm talking about everybody. You ain't got to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, to be a minister. Every last one of us are kings and priests. What's that? That's spiritual representative, boy. We represent a kingdom, glory to God. And they got a lot of people out there in the world who don't know nothing about this kingdom, man. And we got to go into all the world, every arrangement, every pattern of operation, every system, man, into the political world, into the educational world, into the financial world, the social world, the Facebook world, all the other media that's up on the earth, man, you know, every world. The entertainment world, the hip-hop world, the gospel world, the Christian world, the Hindu world, the Muslim world, the Buddhist world, to all the world. and let them know, boy, that I'm talking about, this is not about rituals and ceremonies and customs and rites and tradition, man, that have been passed down from generation to generation, man. That might be a part of it, but that ain't what it is. That's just a small piece of it, man. We got to go let them know, boy, like I told you, that God was in Christ Jesus, man, hooking the world back up to himself. What you mean hooking the world back up to himself, boy? Allowing man, boy, cleaning us up, man, so that, boy, the Holy Spirit can come, man, pass all our mess that we have up on this earth, and once again take our residence on the inside of our spirit and start manifesting himself, man, from the inside out. Spiritual healing. That's spiritual salvation. Spiritual salvation, man, is when you're born again, when you realize, boy, that you are saved. And it ain't because of nothing you've done. It's by the grace of God. And that's a gift from God. And when you understand, come to the knowledge of that and understand that and receive your gift. I'm talking about receive your gift. You can quote it and everything else, but if you don't never grab that box from under the tree and open that box up, man, and explore that gift that's on the inside of you, even though you got it, man, and it's yours, boy, you got to open up the box. And you got to get the gift out the box, man, and use it and play with it. Boy, you got to grow in the knowledge that you got everlasting life so that you know, you don't just know, you know that 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 you know, glory to God, beyond any shadow of a doubt that, boy, you are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, boy. So you ain't trying to live your life to get saved, boy, and coming out of darkness and out of sin and in order so that you can get saved. You're doing all those things because you are saved, glory to God. You just becoming, boy, who you already are. What's that? Holy and without blame. I told you, boy, he wouldn't allow you to come into his presence if he had not already made you holy. He made you holy. I told you, this ain't what we doing for God. This is what God doing. That's the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, listen, I'm going to have to start singing it in a simpler way. Boy, what God is doing, that's the kingdom of God. The governing influence of God over man, over his territory. Everything, all the heavens, the earth, everything belongs to him. You, the world, all those that dwell in it, is the Lord. He's the owner of everything. Glory to God. And baby, oh Jesus, what a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. Well, he established his will and his covenant in the earth, man. And he bringing us to the knowledge of that and teaching us some things in our generation, boy, as we come into the knowledge of, boy, that, boy, great is he that's in us. Just like the scripture saying, we listen. I'm talking about know that we know that we know that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt, boy, that what the king say goes. I told you, boy, it's the governing influence of God over territory. It's his governing influence. That's the kingdom of God. Not what the people are doing in the kingdom, but what the king, man, has established and is doing in his kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. And when we get back to, man, not what we're doing for God, but what God is doing, man, for and through and in us, when we get back to that, and we'll realize something, that what he's doing in and through us, boy, is reestablishing his kingdom of heaven back up on the earth. Reestablishing that Garden of Eden back up on the earth. And that Garden of Eden, man, it wasn't no veil that separated Adam and Eve, man, from God. They were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. Kingdom life fellowship. Well, they had dominion on the earth, boy, and they was fellowshipping with the Most High God all day, every day, in the presence of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit was living in their spirit. That was the divine connection right there of heaven to earth. The Holy Spirit, the ability of God, the life of God, the power of God, the character of God, the nature of God, all the essence of God, just like Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, boy. Now that you and I have been cleansed and that Holy Spirit, boy, that left us in the garden, left Adam, boy, can once again come dwell on the inside of us, signifying, boy, that you are as clean as you are ever going to be. You are as righteous as you are ever going to be. You are as saved as we are ever going to be. We are as healed as we are ever going to be. Yeah, Lord, that is already done. And as we come in behind the veil, man, like I say, we into the presence of the Most High God, then we come to the knowledge of that, man. And God begin to work on that on the inside of us. We know that it ain't like that up on the earth, but that's how God is doing it from the inside out. Listen, the kingdom of God, he wasn't trying to manifest the kingdom of God on the earth when Jesus came. He's going to do that in the next dispensation. He's going to do that in the millennium. When he comes back, he's going to set up a kingdom up on his earth, and he's going to literally be up on his earth. Right now, we can't see him, but he's going to be a kingdom on his earth for 1,000 years where he's going to sit on the throne just like David did, man, and rule and reign over this earth, man, in the present tense. Hallelujah. In the reality of it for 1,000 years. You don't know about that. Hallelujah. But the kingdom that he set up on his earth, man, when he came 2,000 years ago, like I told you, was in the hearts of man, in the spirit of man, back on the inside of our spirit. That's why the salvation take place first in our spirit. The healing take place first in our spirit. The deliverance take place first in our spirit. The healing from all, whatever it is, the brokenheartedness, that don't matter what it is, all that take place in our spirit. And boy, we have something on the inside of us, boy, called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of the Most High God, God himself, if I can say it that way, on the inside of us. And then we got God on the inside of us, boy. I'm talking about the enabler. That's how enabled to give up the ability to do it. Then we can do all things, boy, through Christ, through that anointing, that man on the inside of us. Ain't nothing impossible. We've been telling God to rebuke this and rebuke that. We'll rebuke it. And instead of telling God, man, to bind this up and bind that up, boy, we'll start binding up things, man. You know, I'm talking about, what you mean binding up things? I'm talking about declaring, man, all these negative circumstances, situations, senses that confronts our life in this earth, boy. I'm talking about under our feet, under subjection, powerless against us. Jesus ain't got to bind nothing up. He's not ready to bind up the devil, boy. Time for us to, man, thought. I'm talking about taking authority over the circumstance, situation, and center in our lives here on our territory called the earth, in our kingdom. That's why you got to come, man, behind the veil, boy, so that you can get into the presence of the Most High God, so that, boy, God can speak to you, boy. And, boy, when God speaks to you, he's going to speak to you, boy, not only his permissive will, but his perfect will for our lives. What's his perfect will for our lives, boy? That we be healed, man, spiritually, that we prosper spiritually, that we be delivered, man, from spiritual bondage, that, boy, we be provided for, man, in every area of our spirit, everything that we need in our spirit be met, every deliverance, boy, that we need in our spirit, man, we be delivered from, every sickness that we need in our spirit, we be healed from, boy, in every lost area in our life, man, that we are in, boy, we be saved in our spirit first. Then in our soul, in our mind, our will, in our emotion, our attitude. Hey, listen, boy, though our sins be like scarlet, boy, the Holy Ghost come, man, and cover up all our sins. And, boy, he take up residence on the inside of us. That's what Jesus Christ come do, boy, cover up all our sins. What, boy? So that we can be washed white as snow. For what purpose, Arthur? So that the Holy Spirit, man, can once again come dwell on the inside of us. So when the Holy Spirit come, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he come, boy, up under that veil that we cover with, up under that love, up under that blood of Jesus Christ that washed us white as snow, and he can, because of that, then he can come all the way up under that, man, and take up residence once again on the inside of our spirit. Why? Because we cleansed white as snow. That's what Calvary is, man. We just celebrated Jesus died upon the cross and rose from the grave, but don't know the significance of it and the importance of it for you to have clarity and understanding. That's why we need to know, boy, the time and the seasons, glory to God, so that we might know, boy, what's really going on and how to roll in our time and our season. Ain't talking about singing a song, this is our season. I'm talking about, man, knowing your season, knowing what's going on, and getting in, man, on what God is doing, boy, and just rolling, boy, with the things of God. I'm talking about, boy, we'll start seeing, man, change in our life. We won't be just, right now, we just disciples of Christ. But, boy, we are disciples of Christ that's being translated into to leaders, and leaders who are being transformed into agents of change. What's agents of change? That's when we can go out and be the church. And we can go out, man, and change our circle of influence, change our environment, change our land, change our earth, change our homes, change our communities, man. Change it, man. Bring about change in it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about productive change in it, man. For the glory of God. Not just like what we see, man, in the chain. We thank God for what we do, man, through our natural means and the goodness in this world. But I'm talking about, boy, when we allow God to do it. Not us doing it. And all the things that we do, the good thing that we do, the good program that we put on, all the good ideas that we come up on, that's all good and everything else. But, boy, when we allow God to do it through us instead of us doing it, and trying to get God in on it. We'll flip the script, boy, and we'll start seeing change, drastic change in our life. What kind of change? We'll start seeing, boy, the will of God being in our lives. Like it is in hell, it'll be on this earth. Listen, let me just give you a scripture. You know, I'm going to close with this. Jesus Christ said to Peter, them, you know, and this is pretty close to the end of his ministry, you know. This perhaps the last 6 months of his ministry, you know, where he's preparing the disciples, you know, and after this, he's going to let them know that he got to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be crucified, but after that, be raised from the dead. And this is right before that, when Jesus, you know the story. When Jesus came to the disciples and said, hey, listen, y'all, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then his disciples start saying, well, you know, some say you Elijah, some say you Jeremiah, some say you this prophet, and some say you that prophet. All the people that they were saying was, you know, some say you this prophet, some say you that prophet, some say you this prophet. And then Jesus Christ say, who do you say that I am? Now he asking his disciples. Now he asking you and me. He said, who do the people say that he is? You know, the Muslims say he's a good guy. The Hindus say he's a good a lot of people say things about him. Everybody got an opinion about him. Then he asked his disciple, well, you got your opinion about him. Then he asked his disciple, who do you say that I am? He asked the church. Same thing he asked the church now. Who do you say that I am? And boy, Peter got a revelation. This ain't sense knowledge. Yes, he has two kinds of knowledge. It's sense knowledge. That's knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasons that we learn in our schools and our education, in our technical schools and universities and everything else. All that sense knowledge. Knowledge that can only derive from our five sense reasons, where we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, you know, from that. Yeah. But then there's another kind of knowledge, boy, called revelation knowledge. That's revealed to us, boy, in the Word of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's revelation knowledge. And boy, you know, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but boy, my Father gave you a revelation. Boy, who did Peter say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Most High God? See, listen, boy, prophet is all that good and everything else, but boy, we Peter got a greater revelation. Peter said, you ain't no prophet. Man, you the king. You the Son of the Most High God. You the one that them prophets prophesied about. Prophet? You ain't no prophet. You the one who they prophesied about that was coming. You that coming king. You the savior of the universe. You Emmanuel. You God coming down to this very boy to fulfill a promise. You the one. You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And boy, Jesus said, listen, boy, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon that revelation knowledge, who I am, what, the Christ, the one who was going to come and restore men, the kingdom back upon the earth. They was expecting more like David's kingdom was, a physical kingdom for you, but he was coming to restore back the original kingdom of God. That was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That was greater than David's kingdom and David's reign. She said, upon that revelation knowledge that you have of who I really am, that I come to restore back, boy, not just the kingdom of David, I come to restore my kingdom back on the earth. The Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that revelation knowledge, boy, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. Listen, my church is the indication that if you say the church, then he was talking about, you say, but my church is the indication that there are other churches too. If I say this is my phone, then that ain't the only phone. That's just the indication that this is my phone. But see, I'm going to build my ecclesia, my called out ones, man. That's going to represent, boy, listen, this boy, this revelation that you got of who I am and why I came to this earth. And then he said this, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen, now notice what he did say. He didn't say whatever I bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever I loose upon this earth, he said whatever you loose. Everybody say, boy, you got to go to Jesus to bind up nothing, man. It's already bound up. Now it's your authority, boy, to keep it under subjection. Keep it bound up. Hallelujah. To take authority over it. It's already bound up. Now you got to keep it bound, baby. And not only that, boy, but whatever you lose. If you lose the things of God, you lose it. Jesus Christ has already loosed it. He's already bound it. It's up to us to bind it in our life, in our circumstance, in our situation, on our worry, our authority, our power, our control, our influence, our doom. And he'll do it through us. He just need a vessel. He just needs somebody with a will. He said, I'm gonna give you the keys of the kingdom. What's the keys of the kingdom? Listen, it's not enough for us just to hear about the kingdom and rejoice over it and even to be born in it and to get into it and receive it and come on in and come behind the door into the veil and say, yes, I'm on it and I'm a citizen of the kingdom. But now that you're in the kingdom, now what we God want to teach us for the next few years were the keys, the functioning principles of the kingdom, the laws that governs that kingdom, how to operate in that kingdom, how to live in this kingdom, how to appropriate all the things of this kingdom into our lives, how to manifest this kingdom in our lives, not just to know that we're in it, because that's what it's all been all about for the last several, 5, 6 years I've been on here talking about this. Boy, the reestablishment of the kingdom. But now, boy, the kingdom is reestablished. Now we got to learn the functioning principles of it, how it functions, how it operates, the laws that governs it. Listen, there are keys to the kingdom. To get in the kingdom, boy, the door is open. The kingdom is like a big, luxurious hotel, you know. I'm talking about, boy, I'm talking about the door to the hotel. I'm talking about it's open 24/7. It got a lock on it, but it's always open. That's just how the kingdom of God is, boy. It's like a big, luxurious hotel. To get into the kingdom, all you got to do is come on through the door. It's always open. When you come into the kingdom, boy, you see the lobby there and how nice it is in there and everything else. You in the hotel. You in the kingdom. But, hey, listen, in that hotel, if you want to enjoy, man, all the benefits that's in that hotel, if you want to go up there, man, and get all the accommodation that's in that hotel, hey, listen, those are in that hotel, but they behind doors. They up there in the rooms. All the things that's in there, boy, and they got keys to them doors. You just can't go up in the hotel and just walk up there and all the doors in the hotel open. No, the door to the hotel is open. Not the door to all the rooms in the hotel. All them doors got keys to it. And, boy, you learn the functioning principles on how to get the key. Boy, you got to go through this. You got to do that. You got to register. You got to pay this. But now you get the key. And you can go, man, and that give you, man, that give you access to everything that's in that room and that come along with it. Why? Right? Because you got the key. You got the functioning principle. You operated a principle. You operated a law that gave you the ability, man, you know, to partake, to uptake of everything that's in the hotel. That's why Jesus said, now I teach you, man, the functioning principle, the laws of the kingdom. Listen, there's some laws in the kingdom, man, that supersedes the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses came way after the fall. And way after the disobedience of Adam, the law of Moses didn't come that way after that. Or 2,000 years after the fall of man, they went God gave the law to Moses. But all man died in the Adam of the Bible. The law is a schoolmaster. Really, if I could just cut to the chase, God gave the law to mankind and the children of Israel, man. You know, they wanted them to keep the law, but to show them that what? You need a savior. Hallelujah. He said, you need a savior. Here are all the laws that you got to apply, man, in order to get all the fullness that I have for you. In and of yourself, man, you couldn't do that. That's why he provided the atonement every year. So it's a schoolmaster to show you what, until the Savior would come, let you know that, man, I need a Savior. Just like they needed atonement every year for their sins, it'll bring us to the place that, hey, we need an atonement for our sins, too. And just like the high priest would go up there and present the blood and the sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of the people every year, same way, boy, that law brought us to the knowledge that we needed a Savior, Jesus Christ. And he went into the holiest of holies once and for all, boy. And when he come out of there, then the middle wall that separated us from God was torn in two, boy, so that we can come boldly into the throne of God's grace, into the kingdom, eat at the king's table, and learn the functioning principles of the kingdom so that we could manifest his glory upon this earth. So that we can not only, boy, have a good church, but, boy, be the church. What are the laws of God's kingdom, boy? Listen, there are seven laws, probably more, but these are the seven laws of the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about the law that God gave the children of Israel. He gave that to the children of Israel. I'm talking about the law that he gave to mankind, the original law that was in the beginning, that I promise you the majority of the church don't know nothing about. Well, I'm talking about the laws of the kingdom. Why they don't know the laws of the kingdom? They don't know the kingdom. So sometimes I feel like it's something I get a little lonely out there. Anyway, the laws of the kingdom, man, is this. It's not in your Bible. I told you, boy, that the perfect chapter in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1 and 2. If you really study those chapters, boy, from the gates or the thanksgiving or the courts of praise or the sanctuary, but from the presence of the Most High God, boy, you see the finished product. You see everything that God outlined and laid it all out. And you will see that on the seventh day, he rested from all his works. Listen, boy, in the kingdom of God, boy, the first law is the law of life. What's that, boy? I told you what the king say, go. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, the word was God. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of man. And the light couldn't put it out. Hallelujah. Who was what the king say? In Genesis chapter 1, boy, the king say, let there be light. The king say, let there is. And the king said there. And the king said this. All in Genesis chapter 1, it was all what the king was saying. It wasn't about what nobody else was saying. It was what the king said. That's the law of life. That's the king speaking. And baby, let me tell you something. When he's speaking, there ain't devil in hell, no nothing can alter that. He's going to have that, baby. He's going to have what he says. And boy, he said some great and mighty things. Boy, that's the law of life, man. What the king said. And boy, it revealed to us in Genesis chapter 1. What would the king say? When it came down to us, the king said, let's make them just like us. Like I told you from the beginning, just like us. That's what the king said. That's the law of life. In that, there's another law in the kingdom, man, called the law of liberty. He actually made us and created us in his image, they gave him dominion. Then he said this. He put him in the Garden of Eden, and he said, listen, out of all the trees in the garden, you can eat off any tree in the garden that you want to. That's the perfect law of liberty. That's free will. That's liberty. That's the law of liberty. He gives you your own will. He gives you to make your own decision and everything else. A free moral agent. Free will. And he can't violate that. He can't violate our will. That's why we got to go to him in prayer, boy. That's a law. the perfect law of liberty. Listen, you got to do, you got to make a choice. A man reject this kingdom or come on into it. You can either choose life or you can choose death. You can choose blessing or you can choose the curse. It's your will. You can receive the kingdom or you can reject the kingdom. It's still your will, boy. That's a law in the kingdom, the law of liberty. That's another law in the kingdom, man, in Genesis chapter 1. He told us that even though you can eat off any tree in the Bible, in the garden that you want to, you got the free liberty to eat off of. But that one in the garden, man, is the good and evil, don't eat off of that one there, because if you eat off of that one there, you're going to surely die. That's a law of sin and death. He said, in other words, what he said, listen, don't violate my word. If you stay in line with my word and keep in line with my word, man, and stay true to my word and don't rebel against my word, what your word is, don't eat off of that, but I'm about to give you a boundary. Don't eat off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, because, boy, that's going to produce death. That's a law. A sin and death. That's a law in the kingdom. So Adam sinned, what happened? Death came. That's a law. And, boy, that's another law in the kingdom, man. After they sin and everything else, then you think God was angry with them and put them out the garden because, man, God didn't want to have no more to do with it. No, boy, that's another law in the kingdom, man, called a law of love. Even though God come looking for them, man, and they couldn't find them nowhere, man, and nothing like that, man, he told them, man, listen. And when he found them, he said, where y'all die? He said, we were high, we were naked. And God, man, they had clothed themselves. They had tried to fix themselves up. They had tried to save themselves. They had tried to provide clothing and salvation for themselves. But, boy, God took that off of them, man. He clothed them, man, with his clothing. He provided clothing for them, boy. But, that, boy, that's the law of love. I don't care what you've done. You can't say to yourself, but boy, I love you so much, I'm going to provide salvation for you. I'm going to provide a covenant for you. Not because you didn't mess up, boy, but my love for you is far greater, man, than anything that you could ever do, boy. That's the law of love. He said he loved them so much, boy, that he covered up his sin. He covered up his unrighteousness, just like he covered up ours in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of love. Well, that's another law in the kingdom called a law of promise. He said, even though I covered you up and you lost it, you separated from me, I promise you something. Well, boy, that I'm going to come myself one of these days in the fullness of time, and I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction. Hey, that's a promise. What else said, Arthur? He said, that seed of that woman, that same woman that you deceived and tricked and stole the authority from there, hey, that same woman, boy, going to have a son. That's why I'm going to ground your head in the ground. Hey, listen, my time is up, boy. And he's going to ground your head in the ground. I promise you that. And, baby, we know that son came 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ, boy, and did just what God told him to do, boy. Stripped Satan of all his power, boy. The fulfillment of that promise, boy. And now we've been restored. What's the next law? The law of faith, glory to God. How we live now, boy? Now we get this everything restored back to us. How we live this kind of life, boy? By faith. Oh, faith in the word of God. Listen, we're going to continue this next week, the laws of the kingdom, the functioning and principles of the kingdom. And this last law, the law of sowing and reaping, listen, this is how you get everything from the unseen realm into the seen realm manifesting in our lives through a principle called sowing and reaping. Same principle that a farmer uses, boy. He put the seed in the ground, he cultivated it, he nourished it, he subdued it, he watched over it, and in due season, he reaped a harvest. Same way we get things in the kingdom of God, boy, by what we say, what we sow into our lives, what we speak into the earth. That's why we have to go into the presence of the Lord, so that we come out of there, we speak in the word of God. What are we doing now? We're sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God, the word of God into our lives. And in doing well, in due season, if we don't faith, cave in and quit, we're going to reap exactly what we say. Be not deceived, God not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. Those are the laws. And God going to teach us that. Listen, my wife and I, Gail, we love you with the love of the Lord. If we can be of any further help to you or service to you or encourage you in the word of God, you can contact us at 713-870-3776. That's Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry, 713-870-3776. We love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. And God, our prayer is God's greatest for your life. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.